listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com. If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I have a plan. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
All right, here we are. Hey, Dave, do you want to do the introduction? It is, what is it? It is the Wednesday, the 11th of April, 2018. I'm here, I'm Rollo, and I'm here with Dave J, and we've just been having a nice discussion, and hopefully John LeBond will join us in about 30 minutes' time, but I'd like to just do a back and forth. Spiritual murderer. How is that different from cussing, in your view?
And what is the difference between a spiritual murderer and someone who cusses?
Yes. Like, say if I, like, call you a moron or I, you know, just, like, what's it called? It's called an ad hominem attack, right? So, Dave J, if I'm calling you, the worst words I could think of, it's probably moron, cunt, fuckwit, clown, you know, the worst words. Or, you know, what's the difference between that? And you calling me a spiritual murderer, or someone else, for that matter. What is a spiritual murderer? I want to know what a spiritual murderer...
Let me know when you've been talking. None of those words hurt me, therefore you're not murdering me. However, okay. If you listen to me,
I'm listening.
If you go to somebody and you say that Dave J died today, and then you put them into a state of mourning, when in fact Dave J did not die, you have spiritually murdered them. You have to understand it's not about words. It's about a state of being. You can call me anything you want. That doesn't kill me. It never will. Therefore, if you do not understand that simple difference, because it's very black and white, but you do understand the difference now, right? I shouldn't have to explain it.
All right. So
call me anything you like.
I'm not calling you anything. I'm just saying... You're analyzing a news story, right? Let's talk about 9/11, right? And 3,000 people, did they die that, or didn't they die?
They did not die. And if you claim that they did,
which I don't,
you bring people. Okay, but somebody else who does. Let's say somebody does. That person spiritually murders anybody that they come into contact with that news, because then they will expect the people they're witnessing to react
get
properly.
Get triggered or whatever. That's right. Yeah.
And then the person's going to say.
Alex Jones, or what would you call him, a spiritual murderer? Alex Jones?
He's an absolute travesty. He's a horrible human being.
What about Simon Shackford doing September Clues? Have you watched that film yet? Where he says that no planes hit the towers and it was all CGI. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
There's no planes. There's no planes and nobody died. So
what about Stefan Molyneux? Stephane Molyneux. I'm just going to go through. I'm going to rattle names off to you.
Real quick, I want to.
All right, go, Dave.
I want to clarify something.
Go for it.
Here's the thing, very important thing about 9/11 or any other event. Just take an event where you, once you've established that nobody died, nobody got hurt, you established that. Fine. If you want to then debate the, you know, for whatever reason, because the actual minutia of the hoax itself,
yeah,
dandy, because you then fall into.
But this is what fakeologists is all about. Sorry, Dave, to cut you off. Fakeologists is about media fakery, and that is exactly our raison d'etre. This is what we're here for.
Baseline. You know what I mean? There's a baseline that you must start at. And when something's demonstrably a hoax, if you cannot start from at least an understanding, when two people cannot come to an understanding, that if you claim people die when they didn't, you are spiritually murdering that other person. By what? What happens when that person, they're going to say, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know what? No, I'm not sorry because it didn't happen.
All right. Well, here we go. I'll heat you up with one, Dave. My mother died. No, I won't use my mother. That's fucked. I'll use another example. And you can look this up. My friend, or a guy I played cricket with, hopefully his family is not listening to this, Shane Rodham, was killed on a motorcycle. But he just fucked off. Yeah, I did care. Good on him. Good luck to you, Dave. Oh, what happened there, man?
You just dropped me out.
Oh, did it drop you out? I thought you'd just fucked off.
I don't care about the story you're trying to tell me. You will not bring me down into a state, period.
I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just trying to...
No, if you want to share life with me, let's do that. But I'm not here to listen to your sob stories.
They're not my sob stories. There are people that die and people who do get hurt. War is not...
War is real.
War is a hoax.
Yes, in fact, it is. Absolutely, war is a hoax. There are no instances of armies facing each other and shooting at each other until one side dies and the other side overcomes the other side. Period. This is what war is. War is controlled demolition and strategic relocation, meaning that the demolition that happens is controlled. Meaning that, let's say, the so-called World War II, for example, you have the Pacific Islands where you move, where the Japanese will move out into Pacific Islands and in camp, build encampments there. They will then be pulled back in order for the United States and other countries to come in and land on those islands and take over those islands. And then there will, guess what's going to be there? There's going to be evidence of Japanese encampments there, but there's just not going to be any real battles. So then, you can take pictures and, hey, look, there's an encampment here, because, there was a guy who was just there, but just not right now. And you didn't have to shoot him out of the hole to get there. They were already gone. That's the way that works. It's called controlled demolition and strategic relocation. Period. All right.
What about give me your thoughts on, we'll use big ones, for example. Pearl Harbor. Did the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor, in your opinion?
No, that was all
controlled. Is there any evidence?
I did a video on that, actually. I did a two-part video on that. Take the time. Just do yourself a favor. If you're actually interested and you're not just, throwing out chum, if you're actually interested in looking into it, go look at the so-called evidence they give you for that. And you will find out that a lot of it is quite literally miniatures being used. And I'm just out of a very bad, Godzilla movie. A lot of it's miniatures being used, and they're pushing that off as being real gun sight video. No joke. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. A lot of the others is very limited and isolated damage on runways, where you can see that they put a pile of burning debris on an otherwise flat ground, meaning that it was actually a setup. They had this one picture of a bullet-ridden car. I almost want to think that they borrowed it from the Bonnie and Clyde set. It almost looked like a a repurposed Bonnie and Clyde vehicle for the same purpose, but it's just sitting in the, like, middle of the street.
Sorry to cut you off. Yeah, I understand going into the minutiae of it, and that's good, and I'll come back to it. But do you think that whole, what was it, to get the Americans into World War II or one?
Americans versus the British versus this, that, and the other thing. All these so-called world governments, it's all part of the same scam. Mm-hmm. All right? We're not part of the club. It's all a business organization. The whole understanding of currency manipulation, all that stuff, if you want to get involved with that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. However, you need to build, because you have men and you have women, mostly men. Men need to be given a
purpose. No, there's a lot of, there's transgenders now and all sorts of different.
You're missing the point. You allow
yourself. Sorry, maybe I'm missing it. And let's go back. Let's go back to
No, let me finish my point.
Where you were going. I was fascinated. So you're saying that they were miniatures? Because I will go and watch all the footage.
Yeah, go look at, I wish they didn't keep taking my videos down, but if you look at,
yeah, the Pearl Harbor footage. You're saying it's miniatures and models and things like that. And
A lot of it is miniatures and
that's
models.
Cool, if you want to say that. That's you saying
it's
it.
It's just the proof of the matter. I also...
This is what I heard. Now, call me a clown or call me whatever you want. But I heard that the Americans put their shitty, crappy ships in Pearl Harbor and kept their good ships somewhere else. Now, does that sound like...
The last ship I was on, because I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy for 10 years. Uh-huh. The last ship I was on that was called the David R. Ray, and it was purposely sent to the bottom of the ocean in Pearl Harbor to make a reef. Meaning that, yes, a lot of real ships get sent to the bottom of the ocean because it's just easier that way. It doesn't cost you any money.
Have you given your age out, by the way? Are you the same age as me? I'm 48. Well, how old are you again, mate? Sorry.
The same age.
So about 48. All right, yeah. So you're in the Navy, right? Yeah, and they send ships that are, dilapidated or they're just no more use. They just make, so people can snorkel, not snorkel, but scuba dive around them. Is that right?
It's not specifically for people scuba diving around, but it creates a break. So it creates
a break.
Keeps things from flowing out back into the just kind of holds things in where you want it.
That's interesting to me. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Titanic? I mean, you must have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I looked into that, and I'm of one. It wasn't a disaster where people went down, ground. That's period. So now I'm looking into what did they do, and my with the evidence that is still available, I would say that it falls into the sister ship category, meaning that they had two ships and they had a false name or a double name given to the sister ship, meaning that they just sunk it. It was like in a scam, some sort of monetary scam, like everything.
Insurance job, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a bunch of partygoers out there that just sunk to their death. That didn't happen, period.
Mm. It does seem dodgy. Look, I'm just going to go for a cigarette. Would you just go on mute? We're going to get John LeBon here in about 10 or 15 minutes. Would you like to have a chit-chat back and forth with Don? Johnny?
I would like to.
If you just go on mute for a sec, and I'll be right back. Okay, mate? Cheers. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's pretty good that Dave's still here. So, and one of the things I'd like to do, because I've been here for years, here at fakeologist.com, is thank, there's two new supporters, and one of them is John LeBon, so we'll give him a big shout-out, johnlebon.com. And who was the other one? Let me try and find it here. Let's go up. And Serrano. So thank you, Serrano, for helping fakeologist.com stay on the air. So well done. So we'll wait for John LeBon to turn up and he can moderate, because then me and Dave can go at it. Because Dave can call me a joker and clown if he wants. And but I'd rather have a mediator.
Tell you what, bud, don't you dare try and tell people that this is a one-way street, because they can go to any of these audio chats where you've been yelling at me, and I do not reciprocate. See, I was talking in the chat because you were putting up pictures and I was just having a go.
No, but I'll give you something, Dave. You're not a keyboard warrior. I'll give you an example. Who is a keyboard warrior? Is a guy called Harry Yell. Was giving me curry in the general. If you go to fakeologist.com and go to general, hashtag general, I know he's supported fakeologist.com, and he was giving me all sorts of curry. And I invited him to come in, get onto the mic, and he hasn't done it yet. And so I'm just calling Harry Yell out now, all right? What are you afraid of? Dave J's here. John LeBond's going to be here shortly. And if you want to go and listen to a great podcast, it's Ab talking with Geyer and Tommy Dalpera and a few others about the big, it looks like a hoax. Well, have you got any thoughts on that? What's going on in Canada, the T-Bone thing? What's that?
Talking the Humboldt bus.
Yeah, that one, yeah. Have you got any thoughts on that?
It's one of those interesting things to where you never know which one's gonna, blow up bigger than another one. However, mm-hmm. That one, the only place really to go, just as far as wanting to delve into the details, I call those mm-hmm. the eights of the story, because it's an mm-hmm. obvious hoax, and that's great news. The best news is that nobody died or got hurt. However, do you want to go in and look at the ulterior motives and why things are happening? All that's definitely being explored in the fakeologist chat. So mm-hmm. then there's various avenues. I know people are looking into the local hospital wing, the quite a bit of money that's been raised already. I mean, millions mm-hmm. of dollars.
Yeah, so, yeah, with GoFundMe and all that. Yeah, yeah.
There's always I find that interesting. However, YouTube is no longer a viable platform to investigate things like this. So it is going to have to be done on websites like this, because YouTube has just really, in the glory days of hoax busting, between mm-hmm. 2009 and 2013, 14, mm-hmm. you used to be able to get away with it for a bit longer. Mm-hmm. But now you put a video up and it's maybe an hour.
Oh, yeah. It's disgraceful, isn't it? You said you've had 11 Dave J channels taken away or whatever, and you keep going back there, but because it's convenient, right? It's convenient.
Well, I've only been putting up more of my numbers, tones, tunes. Mm-hmm. Understand.
BitChute, Ab's starting a fake tube thing where if it's important, he will save it and put it on his own server, so he'll do it that way. So there's that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Much because yeah. then I get him in trouble with some of the people that listen to this this fakeologist, because I'm kind of the boogeyman, if they made a fakeologist movie, I would be one of the villains, I guess.
Oh, you'd want to play the villain, would you?
You would be the villain,
you know. And I'd be the guy. I'd be the villain too, probably. Have you seen the film that Alex Jones is in where he floats up into space or something? It's called. Oh, I forgot what the film was called.
Yeah, I don't even have a TV at the house, to be honest with you.
So. You don't? No. Yeah. But there's this wonderful film. It's got a whole bunch of really good music in it, and it's all done cut of. It's made into a cartoon, but it's, oh, man. I'd love to know, remember what it was, because I'm...
Did it come out?
Yeah, where he's opening the car door and he just floats up into space. It's just, I do like creativity. And Dave, you are a creator, are you? You're not just a destroyer. You're not here to destroy. You're here to create, right?
To give life.
Mm-hmm.
In an atmosphere that loves to give death. Basically, every day, its death is dished out.
It is, isn't it? So if it bleeds, it leads, right? That's the old news adage, right? If it bleeds, it leads.
Which is why this is one thing you'll find out. I don't come into a room and dish death out, period, at all. I don't share stories with you of personal experiences because I'm not here to bring you down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to listen to me bring you down. I would like to talk to you about things that would lift you up and to make your mind, make you think about other things that you might not have thought about before.
Sure.
However, that most of the time and most of the people you deal with in this life, in this so-called life, downward trajectory, meaning that they are going down, they want to take you down with them. And it's always a constant race to the pit.
Mm. Well, look, let's not forget, this is Fakeologist.com. I'm here with Dave J. I'm Roller, and Fakeologist.com is about media fakery, exposing media fakery one PSYOP at a time, and I know that can be a downer, but that's what we do here.
You can expose hoaxes and fakery without... Because you offer them life, and you offer them hope, and you offer them light by showing what is actually going on and telling them.
Maybe we got off on the wrong foot. Yeah. Maybe we got off on the wrong foot because I did ask you specifically about Tony Abbott and Tony Blair, but that's okay. You have now said that they are. Have you said that they are?
Well, I did 3 minutes. Here's what I did. Like I say, somebody's... Good. Somebody's welcome to go ahead and refute with more than just a single instance. However, I did 3 videos, and I compared the parents, the mother, the father, along with those 2 characters, and then the wife. So the wife character. And I compared the heights of the father and the heights of the mother and so-called college graduation photos. And I just found that they all appeared to be the same to me. Mm-hmm. I put out a three video series of meshing the faces and things like that. And
Remember that well. I remember that as well. Yes.
And on the topic now, if somebody would like to do work, they don't need to do it to refute me, but they can just do it if they want to actually do the work that is refutes me, and then I look at it and I see that it's quality work. I can always revisit what I believe to be true. That's no problem.
Yeah. You will change your mind. You're capable of changing your mind.
If the information is sufficient to change my mind, of course.
Yeah.
Who can't change their mind?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well, look. If anyone who's listening to this because they might be listening to this like in 30 years' time, who knows? But there, I put Tony Abbott Tony Abbott, President of the United States of Australia, and that's a John Oliver funny piece. And then I put a comic relief piece in by Lauren Cooper meets. Tony Blair, and she's the girl that plays, I don't know, the whatever, on Doctor Who. She's the companion. So I've got them there together. And there I've got you, Dave, and someone's trying to compare you. Is that Adam Sandler?
Alex Goldman.
Adam Sandler? I don't know.
They tried to compare me with some reporter from the Huffington Post.
Is that picture? Yeah. But that's definitely you, right, on the right. With your cap on. Dallas did that. Yeah.
Oh, so anyways, let me explain this one other thing to you.
Sure.
I was overseas. I was doing my volunteer work in the Philippines at the time. And I had very limited access to the internet. But like once a month, I'd go to a town in another island and get access to the internet. And I went and I saw an email from the Daily Dot. They said, hey, you did a video in 2014 that said JonBenet Ramsey grew up to be.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said that the other day.
I said, I sure did. And then I said, I did several videos.
Oh, yeah. What was her name? Katy Perry, right? Katie
so, yeah,
Perry?
So they said, did you want to, you know, respond because we're going to do a story? I said the video is my response. That's the work I did on it. So anyways, mm-hmm. that was 2 years after, so 2014, 15, 16. So in 2016 that came out, right? They mm-hmm. did a story. And then, man, that thing took off like wildfire. I mean, mm-hmm. worldwide, across the plain, it went like, you know, like a brush fire. Mm-hmm. I was getting, when I came back to the United States, I was getting calls from a friend in Vegas to say, dude, we heard you on the radio saying mm-hmm. that JonBenet Ramsey is mm-hmm. Katy Perry and that nobody died and nobody got hurt. And then on Entertainment Tonight, I remember he sent me a video clip of this. And that, guess who I'm listening to? I'm listening to my own voice saying, nobody died and nobody got hurt. Right. And guess what was so interesting?
You were on Entertainment Tonight. Good on you, man.
Yeah,
Look, I don't want to get into the minutiae of, but let's say JonBenet Ramsey. In America, those little girl beauty pageants, to me, they seem sick to me. The mothers are freak shows, and what they make their little daughters do, put makeup on a four-year-old that stuff doesn't happen here in Australia, Dave. Is that quite normal? Because you're in California, right? Oh, here we go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, and again, thanks to John Lebon. John Lebon is given some cash to us and, or us, to fakeologist.com, and so has Serrano. So thanks for that. You live in California, right, Dave?
About the beauty pageant, right? Well, between California and Florida.
California and Florida. All right. And this idea of putting makeup, like, there's me with makeup on, right? You know, you can see the picture right there, and you call me a clown or you can call me a joker or whatever. I don't mind. But that's me being an adult with makeup on, right? I never understood putting makeup on little children. Is that fake? It's got to be a fake thing there. What are you doing? Why are parents
doing that in
America? I never understood it. I never understood that.
You got the question. The answer is quite simple. It's just parents living vicariously through their children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, they're not letting, you know, they're just manipulating their children into growing up too fast, this, that, and the other thing. But that's just that's behavior that they're doing. It's either here nor there to me. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. I'm not gonna, you know, get on my, you know, stop.
All right. You are definitely sure that JonBenet Ramsey and Katy Perry, she wasn't murdered by the parents.
I mean, well,
she grew up to be Katy Perry, right?
Even if you don't believe that aspect of it, no, she was not murdered, period. That was a hoax.
Right.
So then I
mm-hmm.
take it one step further. Where did she wind up? I said, Katy Perry, that's JonBenet Ramsey, period. That's the same person.
Right.
So anyways, what happened was, it wasn't only the news and all these other news outlets that was making fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called truth community on YouTube mm-hmm. that was making fun of me. It was mm-hmm. Jeff C. It was a lot of the so-called religion.
What are your thoughts on that man, Jeff C., the Canadian?
He's the worst. TransAsia. The TransAsia hoax brought him out.
Oh, yeah.
Guy during the TransAsia hoax, I put out a video. I said, I'm exposing Jeff C. as the liar that he is because mm-hmm. I went on to his audio chat one time, and they just all, you know, lambasted me like they do sometimes mm-hmm. on here, where they all start yelling at me. And mm-hmm. I held them all, you know, one by one. I shot them all down. And then, so I was just looking. I was waiting for that opportunity where he was going to go too far, and that mm-hmm. was – that was an incident where he came out today. He's all, look at this real plane crash. And I jumped on it. I said, no, this is a hoax. And
you're talking about the one where the plane went through the two buildings and then ended up in that shitty China River. Are you talking about that one?
Yeah. That was the trans.
Yeah.
So I jumped on that as fast as I could. I made several videos, and I took my time because back in those, that was, like I say, that was the heyday of Hoax Busted on YouTube. That was when they used to let
and
you
just,
keep a video.
And just they, yes, they definitely real. Definitely real. And then, yeah, he busted up with, who was it? It was PK and Russian Vids and... Yeah, that really did cause a lot of problems. And then Simon Shack calmly just said, have a look at this taxi here. Have a look at this taxi. And I spoke to Del Qua from Outside Radio straight afterwards and went, look at the bloody dent in the and all the pictures. Yeah, it looks as fake as fuck.
But you know, the other charlatan that same incident exposed was a guy named Max Malone.
Oh, Max Malone. Yeah, that's right.
That guy was exposed. It's like they took each other out on the same event. And there was this awesome call where I called they said they had this chat room, like it was always on, like this is. And they said, anybody can call any time. So then I get on there and I call them and they're like, Dave? And I said, yeah. They're like, Dave J, that's you? And I said, yeah. And then they all just started yelling and screaming at me. What are you doing here? How dare you be here? I said, wait a second. I thought you guys said anybody could join. And it's an open forum. So I just had a good time for a while in that. That's funny. And then they finally just kicked me off. But I love exposing these frauds, these people who claim to be.
I'll give you an example. If you're talking about Jeff C, I mean, I'm looking at, I know you were talking about Max Malone, but Jeff C, same type of guy. I was with John LeBon once, and I sat there for 40, 50 minutes to ask him one question, because he was saying that, you know, planes hit the buildings on 9/11. So I waited 40 or 50 minutes to ask him one question. Have you seen September Clears? He said, no, I've never seen September Clears. I'm just going, all right, then. What the hell am I talking to you for? Because, all right. Simon Shack has since, you know, when he turns the missile into a plane, he's since retracted that because we all make mistakes. Life is not about, not making mistakes and improving, because he's just coming out with this new, Simon Shack's solar system or universe or cosmology. I've got nothing to add to that. And just listen to... Hoi Polloi talked to Simon Shack on really high quality audio, and hopefully it goes well for him and he does well for himself. But nothing will ever beat September Clears. And if you haven't seen it, Dave J, I do suggest until it gets completely wiped from the internet, you do yourself a favor and watch September Clears. Yeah.
It's like, on his solar system thing, though, there's a saying, you can't polish a turd, so that's kind of how I look at that.
Right.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, look, I can't help you with the solar system thing until John LeBon gets here. Maybe we'll go back on mute, and John LeBon can't be far away, so maybe just give me another 5 minutes. And when John LeBon gets here, you and him can go back and forth on the solar system thing if you'd like.
No interest in that, yeah.
No. Well, we can go anywhere, but we'll wait till he gets here. Do you mind waiting on for a little longer?
I'll wait for a few minutes, yeah, but then I got to.
Yeah, all right, man. All right, man. Okay.
2212.
Hello.
Dave, is my audio coming through okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, man, I was just listening to you and Rollo while I was eating my dinner. That was a good conversation. You know, when Rollo's not focusing on your opinions on Tony A and Tony B, and when you're not accusing people of
crazy
murderers.
Crazy John LeBon. Hey, how you doing, crazy John LeBon?
Hey, John.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here. And Rollo, I was just telling Dave that...
Yeah, go for it.
When you two are just having a genuine conversation, it's enjoyable to listen to. It is. Mm-hmm. And just listening to, like, you guys reminiscing about the TransAsia event, that's good radio, you know? So I was just enjoying my dinner, just listening to that, and Dave was talking about Max Malone and how him and Jeffrey, as I like to call him, exposed themselves. Those were fun times, Rollo. And then when you came to my show and we had Jeffrey because Jeffrey was listening to my show, so he wanted to come on the show, and then you wanted to come on the show to talk to Jeffrey. And
I had to wait for 50 minutes. 50 yeah. minutes.
No, they were good times, man.
Yeah, they were good times. And look, they're good times right now. So, look, now that you're here to moderate, Dave J, you're a clown. You're a joke. Tony Abbott and Patrick Blair are the same person. You're a spiritual murderer.
Now, come on. Your sense of humor sometimes doesn't come across the people.
Oh, satire doesn't work anymore. Satire doesn't work anymore.
Well, not when you're posting photos to the Discord chat of you dressed up as a clown.
Yeah, that was my friend Jo that made me up look like that the other day. It's only a few days ago, and she's going to look after my dog while I'm in Vanuatu. But DJ is not a keyboard warrior. I'll give you that. Give me one sec. Harry Yell is a sponsor of this site, and I want to say, Harry Yell, get on the Discord right now and give it to me both barrels. I want to hear what Harry Yell's, you know, just the same as that. What was that woman? What was her name? Miss Ali. She commented and she said, "Rollo, you've got nothing to offer. Nothing." You know, it's just that sort of bullshit. When I do a whole bunch of stuff here, and I feel unappreciated sometimes when I interview, say, Jesse War, you know, when I interviewed that guy, or I was on with our lovely Chris Kendall today, and there was a lovely conversation again. John LeBon, I think you would admit, was wonderful about this Canada T-bone thing where they've got all these kids being killed, you know, they're all trying to tug at heartstrings, you know. Anyway.
All right, well, I'm looking forward to chatting with Dave J, but let me just respond to a couple of things there. Firstly, Harry L has put his voice out there before. He's been in a Discord chat before. He's been on a Fakeologist audio chat. And when I was in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago, I actually met him. I met him in Melbourne, and he's a lovely fellow. And I don't think you should take anything he says about you personally. I think he's just one of those people who's out there who, like many people, Rollo, wishes that you would be more sober more often. Because sober Rollo can do good radio, whereas drunk Rollo is a waste of everyone's time. As for Miss Ali, listen, I agree with you. If she wants to sit there and criticize you or anyone else, she should at least put her voice to the airwaves. I wish that she would. I think she's got some interesting things to say. So I think if she wants to sit there on the sidelines and throw peanuts, she does have to jump on the stage at least once, is my opinion. And that's how I feel about everyone. And what else did you say? Something else? Oh, you're being underappreciated, Rollo. There's lots of people out there who like you and who like Radio Rollo, so don't give us this underappreciated thing. As you know, you put your voice out there, and people will attack you. That's just how the game works. The Hoaxbusters call, I haven't heard that latest Hoaxbusters call with you, but I'll probably listen to that later on tonight when I go for my daily walk, so I'm looking forward to hearing what they have to say about Canada, and I hope I've...
Yeah, you do it. It's great. And look, I don't want to bring up too much. There's some issues that are mentioned in there because we are real people. John LeBon, I know you're a real person. Look, don't get me wrong. Those days when you were doing this, I look forward to every Sunday with you, Ethan, and Lindsay doing the Sunday show. That was like the highlight of my week, and I must have a sad life because I really did look forward to those every Sunday. So, you know, that's why I've always liked you from the get-go. I know you're an argumentative son of a bitch, you know what I mean? You do it. You're just good at it. But there you go.
Here's the thing. Let me tell you, I don't see myself as argumentative because I'm not looking for arguments. You know what I mean? Like, if I suppose Dave, Jay, and I can organize a time in the next week or so to have an interview, I don't think there'll be an argument at all. I'm more interested in hearing what Dave has to say. Like, what led him to his current opinions? Where does he think he has got things right? Where has he got things wrong and corrected them? Like, I'm more here to hear what people have to say. I'm not really looking for arguments. But for some reason, Rollo, people seem to seek me out to want to argue with me. It's like they, I don't know. It's almost like they see me as like the big dog or something. They want to come and have a go at the big dog because it makes them the big dog. And it's like, I'm just a guy. You know
what
I mean?
Just a guy.
When are these people going to learn from each other's mistakes? No one has come out swinging against me and looked better for it half an hour later. Nobody. Okay.
I saw you in that video. You obviously you must do weights because you got some arms on you. With you and Gina, right? You got some arms on you.
I'm talking metaphorically rather than literally. I don't.
Well, I'm not telling you. Gino looks paper thin. You look like I wouldn't want to mess with you. physically, you know.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Anyway, look, I'll let you and Dave. I won't get in the road. I'll let you and Dave have a chat. And I'll be here listening. Just invite me back when you want me.
No, I was actually quite happy just listening to you two. I thought the conversation was good, especially all that reminiscing about. That was three years ago now. That was I'm pretty sure February.
So long ago, yeah.
It was February 2015, I'm pretty sure. So that's more than 3 years ago.
Dave
was telling us, Broly, you interrupted Dave when he was telling us about when he was in the Philippines and he gets contacted by the Daily Dot. They're like, oh, we're going to run a story. I remember that, Dave. I think you'd already left, but your videos are still up. And then all of a sudden, your John Bennett Ramsey, whatever the hell that person's name is, went viral. All of a sudden started going viral. And get this, Dave, there were people trying to say, even though you'd left at this stage, that this was evidence that you were a paid shill, right? Because one of your videos started going viral, there were people saying, well, there you go, that's more evidence that he's working for them. These are the kinds of people that we're dealing with here, Dave.
The understanding I was speaking with Roller about the pit and people dragging you back into the pit. They want you down in the mud with them. They want you in the pit with them. So then as soon as somebody gets any leg up whatsoever and gets any airtime, even though the airtime was negative, it wasn't positive airtime. It was people saying, look at this idiot. Look at this conspiracy theorist. You know, what kind of wackiness does this person believe in? So it was all that type of theme story. There was no positiveness to it, even on the YouTube folks, the so-called people looking to hoaxes, they were also on the side of saying that I was in that case. So it was almost universal. So it was quite a strange thing. And what's so interesting about that is it's still reverberating around within. I guess the term is popular culture or memes and whatnot, but it still gets airtime. That understanding that JonBenet.
Well, people seem to love the this person is that person thing. Like people like Dallas Goldbug, and you know, even when Russian Vids used to push the Alex Jones is Bill Hicks thing, that seems to attract people a lot more than sort of standard media fakery analysis. I don't know why. I don't know why it is. So maybe that's why you're.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, you go.
I was just going to say, when you look into a hoax story, you have to take the time to look at the details. You know, once you've understood and you've brought life back to the story, meaning that you've dismissed all the false witness of death and the spiritual murder, and that's very important to me. And I'll explain why to you, because I'm not sure anybody's ever asked me why it's important, but I'll explain to you after why it's important. But once you've then brought life back into it, meaning now it's just a bunch of words that people are putting out, and it's just a story that people are telling and people are listening, now I can get into the details because there's no death involved. It's just, let me show you this story, this picture, and then once you look at it, you'll say, oh, okay, yeah, this is nothing more than a stage play. A staged play, meaning that it's there for your eyes and your ears. And but don't worry about the other side of it. Don't worry about the emotion or the death side of it, because that part of it is a lie. Now, do you want to know why it's important to me that you don't false witness death and murder?
Well, I do know why. And here's the thing. You were saying this back in 2014, 2015. Do you remember the whole, you know, We'll Do It Live with Jeff C and all of the little spin-off shows that sort of followed from that on Google Hangouts? I remember people were criticizing you for that then. They're like, how come he can call me a murderer just because I think this event is real? And I remember trying to explain to them, I might even have a video where I cut this section out and re-uploaded it, where I was like, I think what Dave J is saying is not that you have committed a physical murder, but what you have done is convince somebody that another human is dead. And we all know what it's like when someone dies. It's a very upsetting thing for us. So when you tell someone that someone is dead and they go through that grieving process, then in their mind, a spirit has died. And I tried to explain to them, That's what I think Dave J is saying. But they couldn't get their heads around the allegorical or the metaphorical nature of what you were saying. That all they could assess was the superficial element of the words that you were using. See, back then I didn't understand how stupid the average person is. So I was giving these guys a bit too much credit. And most of those guys have disappeared since then anyway. It's funny what happened to that whole little hoax busting scene. They've all scattered.
Are we talking about PK and Russian vids? And
PK and Russian vids were sort of at the top of the scene back then. But I'm talking more about the little Google Hangouts that were sort of like there was the main Google Hangouts, We'll Do It Live, and Max Resistance Roundtable. But there were all these smaller shows with smaller audiences with sort of like your bit players at the time. But all of them were familiar with Dave J. Everyone knew the phrase, nobody died, nobody got hurt. So Dave J was always like a peripheral character who was known at the time. And yeah, they were writing Dave J off for that reason, and also because Dave J said that the moon is a light. And they couldn't get their heads around this. And I was like, yeah, that's what I say. And I'm like, hold on, guys, what do you actually know about the moon? Give me the evidence you've got about the moon. All you've got in terms of empirical evidence is the fact that you can see it, okay? That's all you've got. Even if you look at it through a telescope, all the telescope is doing is magnifying the light, okay? That's all. If you get a telescope right now and you point it at the moon and you're looking through the eyepiece, all you are seeing is a magnification of the light at the tip of the telescope. People seem to imagine that when they look through a telescope, they're looking into the distance as though it sort of pushes their eye out cartoon mode. No. All the telescope does is take the light at the front of the telescope, magnify it. That is, all you are looking at is light. And I say to them, so this is the evidence that you've got about the moon. The only empirical evidence you've got is the light. Anything else? Of course the answer is no. You can't smell it. You can't touch it. Okay? All you've got is the light. Most people can't get
it. I'll give you an example of. Do you think the moon is flat or is it spherical?
Well, that's like asking, is a rainbow flat or spherical? A rainbow is a rainbow. It's just light.
No. Do you think the moon is flat or spherical? It's a simple question. Yes or no?
Well, it's a light, Rollo.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something interesting about.
Go, Dave.
Because there's all different aspects of research on the internet, and one side of it is the hoax busting side, but the other side is the earth sciences side or the makeup of the place that you call the earth. And I'd like to tell you two things about that. And this is through my experimentation and eyewitness. So I did some experiments on ground level, and the best definition, and this is what I'm sticking with, is that the world is built on a plane, and you have sea level, BA level, and SEE level, meaning sea level, that you can see, and also sea level, and then you have depth and elevation, or deviations from sea level, called depth and elevation. That's it. Either go up or you go down. You have depth elevation from what's called sea level. So that is from all of your and I've done experiments where I'd love to tell you how to do them. You can go out and get your own results. However, I can tell you what you'll get, because it's been tested by not just me but other people, and then you'll get a result, and then you will have to then take that result and say, okay, what does that tell me about this place that I'm observing. So then that's what I started with, the moon is a light. That was back in 2009 when I first started putting that stuff out. And I started taking pictures all of the entire year of 2010. Every day that was clear enough, and it was actually almost every day. This was in California. I took photos of the sky day and night for an hour during the day and then an hour in the evening, after dark. I took pictures for an entire year straight, because I wanted to have evidence and actually have eyewitness to what the sky looks like, every day of what's reported as a year. All right. So I did that. I took the time to do that. And then after I did that, I calculated, you know, my observations, and I came up with what I call my understandings and what my witness is of this environment that we call, you know, Earth. Earth is nothing more than the dirt you stand on or the ground you stand on. It doesn't, you know, I understand when people say Earth now, they have this whole cartoon image that jumps into their head, depending on how much schooling they have, how much, you know. So, anyways, I wanted to let you kind of know about that aspect.
That's cool. That's cool.
But
that's cool.
One of the pictures I took in 2012, I believe it was June 12th, of 2012, was I took a picture of a so-called star, which is nothing more than a point of light through the translucent moon light, all right? And then that picture I put up on that date. And then that picture has since been taken by people like Eric Dubay and a few other people that are in that scene. Mm-hmm. And they've used it without crediting source, which is fine. They don't have to. However, they've taken work, and that's another thing. I don't like work thieves. They've taken work that's not theirs and then used it to make a point. I'm not down with work thieves.
Yeah, work thieves. All right, look, we've got Ounce of Salt, which is Frank, and we've got John LeBond here, and I'd rather switch the conversation to Dallas Goldbuggery and you, Dave J. You know, with different people are different people. If John LeBond can come back.
I only have a few on that, and we've already talked about the few that I have.
No.
I have nothing to do with that other guy. He's been nothing but a pain in my butt.
Who? Dallas Goldbug, Ed Truman.
That guy, if you don't know the guy's a troll, then we got a problem. That guy is no good. Yeah. The guy's an obvious troll. What happened was when
Is Frank a troll in your mind? Do you know who Frank is? He's down from Melbourne. Frank, are you there, Frank?
I've got a picture of a troll.
You got a picture of a troll, have you, Frank? Well, this is Dave J. If you haven't met before, Dave J. Frank, Dave J. Do you guys want to have a chat about Dallas Goldbug? Frank is a big promoter of Dallas Goldbug, and you're saying, Dave, that he's a troll. So yeah, have a chat about that. What do you reckon?
It's just I have a personal history with the guy. He was putting up information. This would have been back in 2010 or 11, a long time ago. He was putting up information which I knew was not correct. And so I thought he would just have made a mistake, so I put up the actual correction to it, the actual person he was looking for, the name, and it turns out that he banned me from his little page, and then he started putting out videos about me, claiming that I was everybody from Mark Zuckerberg. He claimed I was Mark Zuckerberg. He claimed I was
so this was on WellAware1.com.
Yeah. He's called me no less than, I think, 9 or 10 different characters. He called me Mark Zuckerberg. He called me a famous skateboarder. I forget the guy's name. He called me a BMX.
I know the guy. Yeah.
I had all this stuff on my
Facebook. And he called you a guy working for the Huffington Post at one stage.
Sure did. He called me that guy as well. But I just found it. And what was so strange about him was that he never was. He had this that he kept promising to put out. He may have put it out by now, or I'm not sure. But it was a money scam. Mm-hmm. And so what he was doing was he was claiming that he had been working on the JFK.
Jimmy Carter.
This goes back to the so-called assassination. And I said, if you didn't know that was a dummy the time that the little pumpkin head went off, you didn't know that was a dummy, not a real person, then you have no business investigating this so-called or being calling yourself a conspiracy investigator. Because anybody who took just a few minutes to verify that video would have seen the splice. Several splices, and then saw that it was a spliced video, and then they would have noticed.
We've been through that a million times, Dave. It's okay. We've got Frank. Frank, your thoughts on Dallas Goldbug? I mean, come on, you've got the floor now. Come on. Well, what do you reckon?
I find all these guys curious in some way or other. So Dallas Goldbug has a few of my favourite things, like JFK is Jimmy Carter, and Marilyn Monroe plays the role of Jackie Kennedy and Rosalind Carter. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
And he also has my favourite one that we talked about many times, that Julia Gillard and Jodie Foster are the same.
Oh, the big one, yeah.
The same character. Yeah. But the thing I find fascinating about Dallas Goldbug is he says that the flat earth thing is totally fake. It's a shill movement.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts him in the same camp as you, Rollo.
Me?
Yeah, because you
it looks flat. It looks flat to me, but I think the whole flat earth thing is to get NASA off the hook. You've got NASA. You've got this Elon Musk guy with a bloody spinning Tesla in space. Flat Earth is just, you know, Patricia Steer and Mark Sargent. Absolutely.
Yeah, all those basic Bible deniers.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
Right.
And even veganism, which pissed off, what's his name? I spoke to him today, Chris Kendall. No end. But he was trying to talk to young vegans, and they had no bloody, what do you call it? There's no logic to any of their arguments. And so I felt sorry.
You can't actually get logic out of people, Rollo. Let's say, for example, as I have with you. I've asked you 400,000 times.
Uh-huh.
When do you ever apply a curve in your life?
Okay. Well, look, we've got John LeBon here. Maybe John LeBon can help me out.
John LeBon's exactly the same thing. When I ask the simple question.
Hold on. Hey, Frank, good to talk with you, by the way. Isn't this an all-star cast? We've got Frank the Salt Guy from Geelong, Dave J from, I think, somewhere near California, Rollo from Newcastle, Australia, myself, John LeBon from Brisbane, an all-star cast. Look, Frank, what gets me is why you constantly focus on the shape of the Earth of all topics.
Okay, so let me explain that.
Just hear me out, Frank. I heard you Jesse Waugh. Just hear me out. You called in, and Jesse Waugh was being interviewed by Ab, and you said the most lovely things about Jesse Waugh, about how his new Coke stuff helped you to move on from fear of nuclear bombs and all these kinds of things. It was great. And then you start going on about the shape of the Earth. And then Jesse said, look, why are you mixing nuclear fakery with the shape of the Earth, right? Well, first let me finish my question. So my question to you, and by the way.
One simple question. Why am I
giving context? I had to give the listeners context. Everybody listens to all of the calls.
Just straight, simple questions.
All right, my question to you is, why do you focus so much on the shape of the Earth? Why?
Okay, are you ready for the answer?
Yes.
Okay, because the simple fact is that the Bible describes a very particular system of creation. Now, the Bible has come under the hammer constantly for being a fairy tale. Now, the problem is, if it turns out that the Earth or the waters of the Earth lie horizontal and flat, then fundamentally you're going to put the Bible ahead of Darwin and all of science. And so what that means is there's a creator, John, and that alters everything about the way you think and puts the Bible into a superior position from which to start looking for perceived wisdom. That's the end of my answer.
Do you know what a non sequitur is, Frank?
Who cares? I'll just look it up in the dictionary. You think it means something that doesn't make any sense?
A non sequitur, it's just a word to describe this idea where sometimes you can say things that don't actually lead to the conclusion. That is, the premises don't lead to the conclusion. So when I say to you, why do you always focus on the shape of the Earth? If you say to me, well, because the Bible says that the Earth is flat, and I think the Earth is flat, that's not actually a reason to always focus on the shape of the Earth, though. Doesn't it really lead to the conclusion
that you then have to... That actually wasn't actually what I said, John. Let me repeat it again. I'll use different language. There are two models presented to us. One is evolution and the infinite cosmology with we're just a little speck, blah, 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 blah. The other one is that we are the pride of the creation of the Creator on a planet built for us to be the guardians of.
and then we fell from grace by eating the apple. Now, those two stories are quite different and result in quite different ways of thinking about the human experience. So it's not just a simple thing. It is the thing. The thing.
Well, that's fair enough. Let me tell you, I want to change this.
So now, I've answered my question fully and clearly. Now I'm going to ask you a question.
I know what your question is going to be. When do I ever use cursing in my day-to-day life? And I've already told you this before. I don't.
Okay. And that's it. So why do you believe, second question, why do you believe the earth is curved then?
Who told you that I do?
What shape do you believe the earth is, John?
Well, let's just reverse a little bit here. You're working on the assumption that I think that the earth is physically curved, but that's not my position. I don't think I've ever argued that position. What I do argue is that the best model for the empirical observations would be a spherical model, but the map is not the terrain, Frank. So even if the best map for Victoria is on a piece of paper, it doesn't mean that Victoria is a piece of paper. It's just a map. And so it is with the cosmology.
So if you assume that the earth is flat in everything that you do, or should I say that water lies horizontally.
But there's nowhere where the earth is literally flat. It's curvy and hilly and all these kinds of things.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But you assume that the water lies horizontal and flat when other lies left undiscovered.
Well, isn't it? I've never seen water do that other than a bathtub. If you go to a sea or a bay, there's waves and all ups and downs. There's no flatness.
Well, I don't think that's true, is it, John?
I think everybody's going a little bit too few by half, to be honest with you.
Well, Dave, I'm glad you interjected, because what I really want your opinion on, and this is where I think that you are miles ahead of most so-called hoaxbusters, is that you are aware that war is a hoax. And I don't know if you listened back to the call that we had like a month or so ago, but you and I were talking about war being a hoax, and Gaia came and did his little tantrum throwing toys out of the cot thing that he does. And then for the next hour or two, I had so-called fakeologists trying to tell me that I can't say that war is a hoax. And I'm like, hold on a second here, guys. It doesn't need to be fakeologist.com.
Let's just remember.
Well, Dave, Gaia in America, man. Even California, man. It's like midnight now. The guy can't stay all night.
Dave. Yeah, yesterday, Gaia did a very good critique. He's been given the book by Tycho Brahe, Tycho Brahe is what they're basing it on. Simon Schacht's new book. So I think we should stick to, rather than war as a hoax, I think we should stick to John Le Bon. I'm sure you've got some points. Have you got a copy of the PDF yet of Simon Schacht's new book?
I don't think you heard what we just said, Rollo. Dave J lives in America. It's like midnight. He has to go soon. So
I'll let you guys go, Dave. Go, Dave.
I was going to say, I already told you about the Tycho's model. Told you earlier, you can't polish a turd. So there's really nothing for me to add to that.
What Simon Schacht's doing. He's making a new model. He's not polishing an old turd. He's making a new model.
Yeah, it's still ridiculous. Mm-hmm. All right, because the space as we know it, of course, is a hoax, and you don't travel to space. You just don't do any of that stuff that they've told you that they do. So is it Simon Schacht? He's just another variation of the same thing. It's just a revised version of the same BS. So no, I wouldn't waste any time with that.
Mm.
Oh, anyways, so like I was...
You are well aware that Simon Schacht did September Clues, September Clues, right? You are well aware of that?
You're only as good as your last football game, really.
What does one thing have to do with the other?
Well, that's a good point, because I did question Jesse War about his nuke lies and him being in Lower Manhattan on 9/11, so yeah. So, good point. So you're only as good as your last football game. Thank you, Frank. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that there's a new book out, and Simon Schacht is a contributor, and so is John Le Bon, and so are a whole other bunch of people that are contributing to fakeologist.com. And, good on you, John Le Bon, especially, because...
We piss people off. We're about to move on to an interesting conversation.
All right.
We're doing now is just obfuscating, obstructing, getting in the way. It's a great style.
Is that just the commercial that we were subjected to?
That's what it felt like, Dave. It felt like I was listening to a Simon Shack commercial.
Right. So, yeah. So, I could leave it in your capable hands to speak with the war is a hoax, because a lot of people confuse the understanding of hoax, meaning that it's a trick or an illusion. As if it's, you know, it's not actually there. There is a lot going on there. However, it's best described as controlled demolition and strategic relocation, meaning there are things being destroyed, but it's being destroyed in a controlled way in an environment. There's strategic relocation of people, troops, of civilians, this, that, and the other, of town centers, of city squares. You have to then create, through destruction, a peacetime dividend, meaning that you create the jobs you're going to fill during the peacetime with the destruction you caused during the so-called wartime. Because those same men and women, whatever, who you had employed during the wartime are going to need employment during the peacetime. Therefore, you create an economy on both sides of the coin. And guess what? You're making money on both sides of it as well.
And I would make a further conjecture, Dave, is that the reason that it occurs is so that the, if you like, the magicians can then have an excuse for advancing some new technology that suddenly appears, right. And that was driven by war, you know, like jet aircraft and so on.
As long as people understand there's not armies of men faced off against each other, you know, shooting down their barrels and their gun sights at each other and dropping them like deer, you know, stop it.
And there's also not V2 rockets. You know what got me into understanding the war hoax was looking into these V2 rockets. Anyone can do this. Just Google image V2 rockets. They look like clown rockets. They're even painted like clown rockets. Like if you went to a circus and there was a group of clowns on one side of the stage and a group of clowns on the other side and they had a rocket war, their rockets would look like V2 rockets, the way that they're painted. They're painted like clown rockets, right?
Yep.
And then you start looking into the images of these rockets landing, and they're all a joke, an obvious joke. And then you think, hold on, these are supposedly fired by one side over the English Channel against the other side. So if these are hoaxes, and they are, that means that both sides were in on the hoax.
Absolutely.
Now, if you think through this logically, what does that tell you about the rest of the war? Just think about this logically. Many people want to believe, even if they can see that the V2s are a hoax, they want to think, oh, well, it couldn't have all been a hoax, so maybe it was just the V2s that were a hoax. That doesn't make any sense, okay? That doesn't make any sense.
I actually have some modern day experience from my time in the Navy. They had a missile system called the Sea Sparrow, and I'm not sure if you've ever seen a bottle rocket, like a toy bottle rocket, where they just kind of shoot down the street and they do kind of they go every which way but loose, and then just die off. Anyways, I was out for a test of the Sea Sparrow missile, and they fired three of them right out the tube into the out of the launcher, right into the drink, each time, one after another. And these things were claimed to that they were going to, you know, shoot off into the sky and knock down an airplane and blah blah blah. After the third time, it went right into the drink. I told the guy I was standing with on the deck, I said, "Let's go get something to eat." We walked outside, didn't even watch the last two. I've never seen any of these systems actually work as advertised. They're all junk. They're all just fireworks, firecrackers.
Dave, there's a film called Wag the Dog. I'm sure you've seen it. It stars an all-star cast. It's got Dustin Hoffman, Robert De Niro, Kirsten Dunst, William H. Macy, just to name a few. And in this film, you know what they do? They fake a war. And you know what the Robert De Niro character tells one of the other characters? He says to him, "We faked the missiles. You know that bunker-busting bomb? We faked that. I was in the TV studio when we faked that." Right? This is within the film. You've got De Niro telling the Dustin Hoffman character, "You know that bunker buster that you've seen? Like the camera on the front of the missile going into? No, that's fake. We faked it. We faked the whole thing. I was there when they did it." Right? This is in a Hollywood film with an all-star cast. They're telling us, and people try and say, "Oh, it's predictive." No, it's not predictive programming. They're just telling the truth. Right? But only those with eyes to see will understand.
Yeah, but the hard part at the end is Dustin Hoffman's character gets murdered. You know,
that is true. We don't see him get murdered. We see him get taken away.
Yeah, because he wanted the recognition, and he got murdered at the end. That was the that's the spiritual murderer, you might call it.
You know, he didn't get murdered though, right? I know you're trying to.
I don't think so. Oh, I haven't been murdered. John Le Bon hasn't been murdered. He's been doing this for 3 years.
Anyway,
now God knows, how long Frank's been hoax busting or what do we call it, fakeologing? Is there a word, fakeologisting or whatever? Yeah, no one's here to fucking hurt us. Anyone who
so anyways, guys, I have actually hit the sack, so it's been
good on you, Dave. Dave, look, even though we do fight back and forth on the keyboard, you're actually very pleasant to talk to in real life. So you're a good man. Thank you. You have murdered my spirit tonight. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, John. All right.
And I'm in a bad time for karaoke. Nice to talk to you again, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, and me and Jay will be able to do the after party. Me and Jay will be an after party. Why not?
Well, just saying that Dave, Jay, and I have to organise sometime soon to have a proper chat. So
I don't get in the room.
Talking to the guy because I've got no reason to think that he's lying about his work in the Philippines. And he told the same story to Crow 777 a couple of years ago in an interview that he did with Crow. And if people can find it, I recommend they go and listen to it. Basically, Dave. This was a couple of years ago. He just explains, look, you can work out that this is all hoaxes and media fakery. However, you've still got a life to lead. And there's more to life than busting the hoaxes. And that's why he was taking a break at the time. And I admire that. I respect that. I think that's a good attitude.
Yeah, here we go. I'll just throw that into the live stream chat for you, mate. Copy, paste. All right, there we go. That's... When was that? That was February 28, 2015. There you go.
Yeah, I think you had a couple of interviews with...
There you go. That's the one that you're talking about, I'm pretty sure.
Well, it hasn't come up in the live stream.
No, I put it in the live stream chat. Let me just get rid of that. Yeah.
All right, that's the Wag the Dog trailer.
I've got the Wags of the Dog trailer, and then I put the Crow 777 interviewed with...
Well, that's Crow 777 on High Side Chats. I wouldn't recommend people listen. Listen, High Side Chats, I've got nothing against the guy who runs that podcast, but most of his guests are a joke. And Crow 777 had a good interview with Dave, but Crow 777 is also a joke. So I would never recommend people listen to Crow 777 on High Side Chats. That's a joke interviewing a joke, isn't it?
Well, there you go. Look, if you can find the one with Dave J that you think is worth, fakeologists worth listening to, because Ab will put with this, what do you call it, the chat that we've just had with Frank Salty Guy and Dave J. Crazy Dave. Can we call him Crazy Dave? Or is
Crazy Dave, Crazy Roller. You two are like two pillars in a pod. Yeah. It's good to see you getting along. It's nice.
Yeah, that's right. The thing that pisses me off is people... mostly in life is people that just type in and then you do the back and forth on type because you get no tone. You get no tone from that. And when
I've been in correspondence with Miss Ali for years now. Okay, and she has many interesting and insightful things to say. But on one issue I agree with you and disagree with her. And that issue is this. If people want to sit in the audience and only sit in the audience and throw peanuts, then there's no reason why they need to be taken seriously. If you want to throw peanuts at people, that's fine. And some people deserve it, like you, Rollo. Sometimes you deserve to have peanuts thrown at you. But the people who want to throw the peanuts ought to jump onto the stage as well. Fair's fair, is what I say. And the people who just sit on the sidelines throwing peanuts, I don't respect that at all.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Why does Miss Ali, if you've spoken to her, you know, on audio, why does she not want to come into the live stream? Because I
don't know.
It's the same with this Harry Yell guy. I said, just come into the live stream. Give me both barrels. And I know you're giving me both barrels.
No, I'm pretty sure. Let me check. I'm pretty sure he has. Let me check. Fakeologist.
Sure, go for it.
Harry L. I'm pretty sure he has been in the call before, man. Right. I could be wrong.
Yeah. I told him straight out, get into the live stream like you've done tonight, and give me both barrels because I don't mind. I can give as good as I get. Like John Laws, I mean, or I don't want to use any other mainstream guys, but I do have a lot of love for him. I don't know why. He called me a coward, the bastard. He wouldn't take my call today, Johnny.
Did you try and call him with a different phone number?
No, no. I rang up and spoke to his producers, and they said, "Oh, yeah, it's Rollo." And I go, "Well, don't call me Rollo then." I said to him, "Call me Stan Zemanek, because Stan Zemanek died in 2007, and Stan Zemanek's a classic because apparently, what's his name? The guy that was on TUE, I forget his name, but he just went to Stan Zemanek's funeral to make sure he was dead. That's like, he's quoted as saying that. Could you believe these radio guys? Sometimes they don't get on.
Do you remember the Traces of War and everything when they did a eulogy song for Stan Zemanek? And they said that the only thing that was more cancerous than what was in his head was what came out of his mouth or something like this. The thing was, Stan Zemanek, I'm pretty sure he was a Sydney personality. So in Melbourne,
big time.
We didn't really know as much about him.
He'd call you a bullhead, he'd call you a blockheaded bastard, he'd call you everything under the sun. But he enjoyed it. He loved it.
Yeah, but then I'm pretty sure he ended up hosting a TV show called Beauty and the Beast, where there'd be like a panel of five or six middle-aged
men. I think that was Doug Murray.
I think Doug Mulray followed Stan Zemanek.
Well, that's right. When Zemanek died, Mulray tried. But Mulray was too nice. That's right. Mulray was too nice. You're right. Yeah.
Stan Zemanek.
No, you got it right. Yes. I remember it now.
Doesn't say anything on his wiki page. Let's try another little show. How about Stan Zemanek Beauty? Let's see if that works. See, this is the amazing thing, Rollo. We've got this technology now where if you want to confirm something, it takes literally 3 seconds. And get this, I've just found a clip of our boy Stan Zemanek on Beauty and the Beast. And
throw it into the live stream.
I'm going to put it in the live stream show notes. I can't play audio through Discord. Oh. So if you want to play this is just a 1 minute.
No, I'm not on my other machine, so you're going to have the live stream train notes. All right, just right in there. That's fine.
Look, that's okay. He was definitely on Beauty and the Beast. That's how I was familiar with him, because this is 2001, so I was like, 13 or 14 at the time?
Sure. I'll tell you what I can do. I can tell you what I can do, Johnny. When it gets put as an MP3 tomorrow, I'm pretty good when it comes to cutting audio. I do post-production pretty well when it comes to audio. Let's not say pretty good. I do it very well. Just like you do with your videos. What's your latest one? Your latest one, let's have a quick look. Where are we, John LeBron?
Well, basically what I'm doing now with YouTube is all of my videos are effectively just an advertisement for my website. You know what I mean? I'll give them a little bit of candy to get them in, and then after a minute or two, I just start promoting the website. I think it's a pretty clever thing to do. Whereas the videos on the website, anywhere from 20 to 90 minutes of just unadulterated information plus entertainment. It's fantastic. Mm. So you got to pay to get the good stuff, Rollo. That's just how the world is, man. It's amazing, isn't it? People think that you can go through life and everything, you get what you pay for. But when it comes to the truth or to this kind of material, they won't pay a cent. And to them, that makes sense. It's what a time to be alive. But hey, get this, Rollo. We've been joined.
Yeah, feeling feels never felt before. Feeling feels never felt before. Yeah, I know it's an ad, but it was still good, though. I enjoyed it.
But I'll tell you all about that. Exoteric, who he had his debut with Ab maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I listened to the whole thing. Very enjoyable. Yep. Very enjoyable. I learned a little bit about New Zealand. As soon as I heard your voice, Exoteric, I thought, hold on. This bloke doesn't sound like an Aussie. He sounds like a Kiwi. But you were saying that you were living
in... 35 years of being here, and it still sounds...
Is he here now? Is that you, Rick?
Yeah, that's me.
G'day, Rick. How are you, mate? Here you are with John LeBron. John LeBron.
Did you hear me teasing?
How you doing, you Kiwi bastard? Cook me some eggs. Cook me some eggs, you Kiwi bastard.
Just driven past Newcastle.
Oh, you bastard. Why didn't you take the turn off and come and join me? I'm going to go and have a smoke. You and John LeBron have a chat. I don't think you've chatted before, have you?
No.
You haven't seen that
first time. I finally saw your the funny ISS thing with your friend Dino. That was hilarious. He's funny.
Well, that was all.
That guy should do stuff? Because he should do some...
I completely agree with you. He should do stuff. And the thing is, that was all his idea, right? Because I went and visited him. I was in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago for a family event. So I went and visited Gino, and that was all his idea.
Gino. Like
it was all his idea, like the idea to do an ISS green screen. It was his idea, his equipment. And he's the one that's being funny, do you know what I mean? Like that was,
he's
was all
hilarious. Yeah. He was just, he's a natural to the camera, and just the little movements and everything. He's just got a good, camera presence. And, he was funny. You know, you were being the straight man, but he was being really funny.
I was trying my best, man. We took a few takes for some of the gags, because we came up with like 5 or 6 gags before we started recording. And we had to do a few takes for some of them because, and I'm usually pretty good at keeping a straight face, but sometimes with him you can't. Like, he's a genuine character. And
he's funny, all right.
The thing is, he's not just good with the camera. He's just a funny guy in real life. Like, the first time I met him, I still remember the first time I met him. This was like 3 years ago. This was back when Flat Earth was big. Basically, a guy who listened, he doesn't like my show anymore because he's now a Flat Earther and I'm not, but at the time, there was a guy who was into my show who invited me to meet him in Melbourne. He also knew Gino, so we invited Gino over. And the first time I met Gino, man, he just had this, like, 10-minute... It was almost like a stand-up routine as soon as he walked into the room. It was like... some people...
You got it, or you haven't got it.
Yeah.
Some people just are amazing. Sounding like a Dalek, and it was only just heading 2 hours and a half from Sydney. And apparently, I kept turning into a Dalek last time I did the same.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it is doing it now. It's going robot mode, sadly. Who are you with? Are you with Telstra? Nah, I don't think he's with Telstra. Telstra is pretty good. Look, I'm not here to promote Telstra, especially the Telstra stores, which are full of lecherous bloodsuckers, salesmen with no ethics whatsoever. Yeah, it is. It's starting to sound a bit robot-y. And I was just saying that Telstra, I don't know if you've ever been into a Telstra store, but, man, you want to talk about no ethics when it comes to being salespeople. These people they make telephone salespeople seem respectable by comparison. But that's the Telstra stores. The actual Telstra network, in my experience, is sensational.
It is. I'm with Telstra, but I've just noticed now being compared to, I was in Vietnam. And Vietnam was 10 times better than here.
Oh, yeah, it is phenomenal. I mean, I remember when they were talking about the NBN, we're going back almost 10 years, and they were saying, oh, it's going to cost, you know, X billion dollars. And I was like, there's no way that's going to cost whatever they just said. No. No way. Mind you, now I know that all this money stuff, all this debt stuff, it's all fictional anyway, isn't it, really? Like, who is the debt to? Who? Who is the debt to? No one can give me a logical answer to this question.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Well, I think we've lost Exoteric. He's struggling with his reception out there on the coast of New South Wales, somewhere near Newcastle, apparently. And, Telstra, the Telstra stores, don't even get me started, man. I've been in there a few times for various reasons, and they just can't help themselves, man. They will try and pitch you all these products that you have no need for whatsoever. And, completely shameless. Anyway, while we're waiting for Rolla to return, I'll just give my comments on this recent drama with the an exodus. There's been an exodus at Fakeologist.com. It seems as though John Adams has severed ties with this platform, and he's been followed by a few other people. I think Not So Freemason, Mahatma Coates, and one or two other people have said, see you later, Fakeologist. We believe that a net carry-on was real. And so we're going to carry on the net elsewhere. Goodbye. So it's sad to see.
This, regardless of what the circumstances, is always going to happen with this kind of forum anyway. You're always going to get offshoots and... So, you know, it was inevitable that something like this would happen.
Yeah, you're right. It does. It happens mean, I've been in this view now for...
extremist views, middle-of-the-road views, and a polar opposite view, regardless of what the conversation is. And so I call it the fake busters now, because you'll get an amalgam will come out.
I've been here for 4 years now, man. I've been in the so-called truth realm for 4 years. And this is just par for the course, unfortunately. Yeah, it just happens.
I've seen nothing but this, you know, since the 80s with different groups and offshoots of discussion, be it meetings of, you know, certain groups that used to have meetings and there'd always be a trouble. Someone would go one a different way and they'd split up. It's just completely normal. It's organic, actually. It's not anything that surprises me.
So yeah, I mean, if you put enough humans together, unless there's a strong leader, then there's always going to be these kinds of fissures.
It's gone. Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah, and you don't want a strong leader. Like, you don't want a strong leader who sort of puts their fist down, because that kind of defeats the purpose of the open dialogue.
Yeah, So
if someone like Ab does what I think he ought to do, and he is doing, which is allowing people just to speak freely, rather than telling them what they can and can't say, there's going to be frictions and fissures. It's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, I know. It's no surprise. To me, it's a surprise that has happened before. It probably has happened before. I just haven't been listening to it. I haven't got involved with being. I didn't realize about the discourse app and how easy it is to do. So once I did, it's easy peasy. So just for my idea, problems reception when I'm driving, but when I'm in Sydney, it's perfect. Same as when I'm up the North Coast.
Yeah, I remember you saying in your chat with Ab that you listen to like a dozen hours of audio a day because your job allows you to listen to podcasts while you work.
Yeah, 12 to 17, maybe more. It's a while, while I'm awake, it's in my head. So to pretty much a wide variety, and sometimes I listen to some stuff twice and have done for quite a while now, but it's probably too much information.
Yeah, it's the reception's no good, man. It's gone completely.
I'll mute now and wait for Rollo to get back. I just can't believe he's still awake.
Rick, you turned into a Dalek there for a second. Rick, you turned into a Dalek there for a second, but you're okay now, man. Come on, keep going.
No, I'm looking forward to having a proper chat with you, because I've got lots of questions. See, when I'm listening to Ab's interviews, I'm thinking to myself...
Yeah. Oh, no, I am a Dalek, though. I am a Dalek, so it's quite normal. Anyway, I'll mute and listen to you.
Yes, as I was saying, I've got lots of questions, so hopefully we can organise a chat with Exoteric in the future. But right now, yeah, the robot mode is not working. So just getting back to what I was saying a moment ago about the drama.
It's not going to get me.
Yeah, we can't hear a word you're saying, man. I'm sorry. Like, it's just
Rick, wait till you hit a good spot.
He's gone. He's gone, man. Rollo, he's gone. He's gone.
Or wherever you are.
He's gone. He's gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, he's gone.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, I was just going to sort of leave my thoughts about this this drama. And I have to say that my respect for Ab has gone up significantly over the past week or so. I've listened to all of the chats. There were two consecutive 7-hour chats, and I had a fair bit of driving to do myself. So I managed to listen to all of both lots of 7 hours, plus the other chats. And I didn't hear a single thing from Ab that I thought was in any way disrespectful to John Adams. And I think the way that Ab has conducted himself throughout this has been admirable. You know, it's not easy to have people who are meant to be your supporters attacking you. It's not fun. You have to go through this yourself to understand just how unpleasant it is when people who are meant to be your supporters will start attacking you like rabid dogs. It's not a pleasant thing. But Ab has handled it, I think, nonchalantly and calmly and professionally. I mean, he's not a professional, as far as I know. He's just doing this as a hobby. But he's handled this like a professional would. And my respect him has gone up significantly as a result. And
So basically what he was saying is there's no friends here. We're here to be professional. We're here to be objective. And somehow I get it wrong sometimes. I try to make friends. You know, I like to be friends with you, John. I like to be
what
friends with
you. What is the thing, Rollo? You come
to
Brisbane
and I get it wrong. We'll be friends. I get it wrong every time. Yeah.
I mean, you come to Brisbane and we can hang out in real life. Fantastic, right? Or I can come to Newcastle and we can hang out. It's going to be great. But unless we're hanging out in real life as people, there's no reason to assume there's any friendship, okay? You can still build like an online friendship in the sense that you can feel like you've got some kind of affinity for one another or you know each other well, this kind of thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to a media story about media fakery, it doesn't matter who's presenting the story. It's a media story. And so it gets treated just like any other media. If I came to you and I said, hey, Rollo, you've been listening to me for 4 years. Now I'm going to tell you that this media story that is full of hoax markers is real. You have no reason to say, oh, well, I've known you for 4 years. So I'm just going to pretend I can't see the hoax markers. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I get where you come from. So Kyle Sanderland's not my friend. Kyle or whoever that guy is on, whoever's on Breakfast. What's his name? I can't stand the guy. It's on Breakfast on Channel 9. Yeah. They're not your friends. So, and they've got no bit, or David Koch, for example, who's on Channel 7. He's not your friend. I'll tell you a story. When I was coming back from, where was I? I was in Malaysia and I saw David Koch in the airport and I went, I know this guy. But I was a little bit bloody,
starstruck.
When you've been on an airline too long and you're tired as all fuck. And I went up and I was going to shake his hand because I thought he was a friend. And I thought he was going to punch me, David Koch. And then I went, holy fuck, I don't know you. I only know you from television. You know? You wanted to. And what's the other story that's hilarious to me?
Well, before you tell that, let me just
go for it, John.
I was in Melbourne. This would have been when I was, I don't know, maybe 19 or 20 or something. So we're going back a fair bit, maybe 10 years, I don't know. And Sunrise was filming in Melbourne for some reason. I think it might be a Sydney show, but for some reason they were in Melbourne. And I was out all night. And now in Melbourne the trains run all night, but back then they didn't. The last train was at like, I don't know, 1. And they didn't start again until like 5 or 6. So if you didn't get on the train by 1 or whatever time it was, then you were just stuck there all night. So I was just walking around in like basically like the CBD near the river, I guess in like near South Yarra or whatever. And anyway, they were recording Sunrise. Not South Yarra. I'm just trying to think of the name of the area. But anyway,
were
recording Sunrise.
Because the north side's a rich part and the south side's a bums.
Well, this was right near the CBD because they were recording Sunrise. Yeah. And anyway, because they're a breakfast TV show, so I'm waiting for the trains to start. The sun's coming up and they're recording Sunrise. And I don't know if Koshin, is their name Mel? The two of them. I used to be the ones who did the show. Well, as they're setting up, I was just watching, you know, they're sitting on this big stage, like up above. It must have been, I don't know, maybe 5 meters above the ground. Yeah. And I couldn't just help but just sort of, I don't know, I guess sort of watch or stare. And Mel turns around and she sees me and she gives me this big smile, like a big, it seemed like a genuine smile. The complete opposite of what you would expect from these people when the cameras are not rolling. And ever since then, I've had this soft spot for her. That's all it took, right? It was just one smile. And then I think to myself, if that's the effect that it had on me, imagine how the normies feel when they've got Koshy and Mel giving them the lowdown, giving them the truth, giving them the facts of the matter and the laughter and all the crap every morning. They really must see these people as their friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how the normies work.
Yeah.
It's how we all work. Done. I'm saying that we're all subject to these biases, I guess.
Yeah. Look, John, I'll tell you the truth. I mean,
Someone stole my phone. I chased him down, and him and his he had mates. Yeah. There was three of them and one of me. I chased him down. He's this big fat fuck, man. I chased him down, and then his mates just came out of nowhere, and yeah, crazy night that night. The good old days, Rollo. The good old days.
Yeah. Look. Don't get me wrong. I've met them too, and I know that they're as empty as plastic human beings, most of these. Ab calls them, what are they called? Small people with big heads. If you're on television, you don't care about. You pretend to care. It's like politicians that say, oh, like this thing that happened in Canada, right, with all the kids being killed, the what are they, the ice hockey players or something. And they're out, my heart and my thoughts and prayers. You know, every time you hear Malcolm Turnbull say that, or John Howard, or God knows how many politicians say that, they don't mean it.
No, but they have to say it. It's part of the game. It's part of the game. And listen, Rollo, if someone offered you $500,000 a year to pretend you cared about dead kids in a bus crash, of course you'd do it. Now, you'll come back and you'll say, no, I wouldn't. Well, maybe you're already wealthy, I don't know. But the average person, you offer them money, the kind of money that these politicians get paid to pretend to care, of course they'd do it. Of course they would. Yeah. I would. You offer me $200,000 a year to be a senator who just votes as I'm told to vote, and I get a government car, I get unlimited travel, I get all the social status of being a senator, and all I have to do is, if they put a microphone in my face and say, have you heard about the latest bus crash? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's terrible. My heart goes out to the families. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah, man.
But there's always exceptions to the rule. What do you think of Darren Hinch as a senator? What do you think of Darren Hinch? He's been to jail before.
He was supposed to have liver cancer. He was meant to be dead 10 years ago thanks to liver cancer.
Yeah,
the bloke looks fit as a fiddle.
Yeah.
I reckon that whole liver cancer or cirrhosis, I reckon that was all bullshit, man.
Yeah. What about when John Laws put his knuckles down and he was there with Bob, whatever his name is, and called him a cunt? John Laws said, at the top of his voice, a cunt, he called Darren Hinch at the top of his voice. He was with Mike Carlton, who's a 2UE guy in the morning, who only went to Stanza Manning's funeral to make sure he was dead. These guys, they're fucking crazy. They don't care.
Maybe it's all like WWE, and behind the scenes are all best mates. And all the personality clashes are just for the masses. The masses love it, man. The masses love drama. The dumber a person is, and most people are incredibly dumb.
That's why we've got all the crap television these days. What's it called? I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Put you in there, John Levon. I'm a YouTube celebrity, or whatever it is. Get me out of here. What would you say if you were in there?
If you put me in one of those TV shows, you know what I would do? If you put me in one of those... I would just go with the flow and keep my mouth shut about 99% of what I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. That's natural. Mm-hmm. Anyone out there who says to me, oh, no, man, if I would... Give me a break, man. Where do these people get this self-righteous, holier-than-thou bullshit? Mm-hmm. We are humans, and we live in a system. And most of the humans we live with do not want the truth. They say that they do, but their actions reveal that that's not the case at all. So these people saying, oh, no, man, if I got a big platform, I'd tell the truth. Give me a break.
John, I tried to ring John Laws this morning, 1-300-564-652, and I spoke to his producer, and her name is, and I'll name her, Jenna. Jenna, his producer, said she wouldn't let me on air because I said, because all I wanted to say was he has an ego bigger than the Twin Towers in New York, and it was brought down, controlled demolition in 2005 when he was exposed.
Did you see Laws' interview with Lee Sales a few years ago? Lee Sales from the ABC?
Oh, yeah, where he's sitting there with a scarf on.
Mate, he had her giggling.
He had her giggling like
a giddy schoolgirl, man. At 80 years old or whatever he is, he was still getting it done. You've got to respect that. Come on.
But Lee Sales is a good sort, and he was flirting with her.
That's what I'm saying. And he had her eating out of the palm of his hand, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But he's $200 million, man. And who's she? She works for the ABC. What's she?
Oh, they get paid a freaking fortune, ABC, man. Early in my deprogramming process, that was one of the big things. Because I used to watch the ABC, man. I used to watch 7:30 and Late Line religiously. If I didn't see them live.
You wouldn't have done the, what was it called, the show that you did 3 years ago? What was it called?
The
thing that you did with your three mates.
Yeah, it was called the AIP, mate.
The AIP. You wouldn't have done that if you weren't interested in the media.
Yeah. And then I discovered how much these clowns get paid, man. What's his name? Tony Jones? He's on more than $500,000.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
The public broadcaster. And then I started to realize, hold on a second, if they're on that much money, they're never going to rock the boat. And then it all started to make sense to me, you see?
Yeah.
But prior to that, I actually believed the ABC
My favorite show on the ABC was Media Watch. And don't get me wrong, Media Watch was great, but it was nothing like the ARP. I enjoyed the ARP way more than Media Watch. And Media Watch obviously exposed Alan Jones and John Laws for the cash for comment with, what was his name, Richard Ackland, and a few things that interested me, you know, especially Liz Jackson exposing Lawsy for calling people and then pretending that they called him, even though that did piss me off. Because I always loved Lawsy when he said, hello. So let's do it, for example. Hello.
Now, you listen to me, you blockheaded bastard.
Fuck off.
I said that's a lie.
You can't say fuck off on there.
Don't you call into my show telling lies, you boy.
You enjoyed that, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, to be honest. And the video that I made, it was a promotion of Fakeologist, and it was a way to, I guess, share the laughter.
Sure.
That took me more than an hour to make that video, to, like, record the audio. You know, when you have the little audio line? I don't know the official name for that. But I recorded that, and then I made the video with the Fakeologist banners, and that took me ages.
Oh, yeah. I think you did a really good job. That's a great ad for Fakeologist. Because I did mention Tom Dalper, a Fakeologist. It was just because I was caught on the hop and I couldn't get... Because we were talking about... Oh, what was his name? The guy that supposedly died that day. The guy in the wheelchair.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking. Yeah, I forgot that. And he put me on the spot and he sort of roughed me up a bit. And I said, well, give me a break. All right. But, yeah, and you said, look, radio doesn't like dead air. So if he's gonna go hard on me, I just went hard back, and then he said he almost said he wanted to fucking snap my neck. Did you hear that? He almost
said. It sounded like that was the 3 second delay sentence.
Yeah,
it sounded like,
and he swore. Yeah, I'm gonna fucking snap you if I'm there at Otto's and I see you. I'm gonna fucking snap your neck. Hold on, Lawsy, you're forgetting I'm one of your biggest fans, mate.
Yeah, well, you called in and said that Liz Jackson exposed him. And then he's like, she did not. And he's like, and you're like, yeah, she exposed you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you know, I'm still pissed off a bit about Liz Jackson, because that stopped him saying the hello thing. He stopped it straight away. He did it in that last week when he was doing
all this.
Well,
I can ask him, man, why did you do that?
Say like goodbye, and then he's live he was on the still air. Contracted to UE.
I don't know how many, just hear me out, I don't know how many listeners he gets now on that station. He might be in the tens of thousands, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, like, why would you call in? If you're such a fan of his show, why would you call in and start telling him and his listeners that he's being exposed? Like, don't take this the wrong way, but why would you do that, man? Like, I don't... It just seems like a weird...
No, just,
a weird
just to be a bit of a... What do you call it? What do you call it? Just like you, John Levine, you're a bit of a...
I don't call
agitator.
Into other people's shows
agitate,
and
you know,
don't do that.
Makes for good radio, mate.
No, I don't do that. You know what I do these days? Most of my podcasts these days are recorded on Skype once a week. Mm-hmm. My members and I get together to discuss a topic. All the topics are set ahead of schedule now, so people know what we're going to discuss that week. And it's just a nice, cordial conversation, you know what I mean? And usually about 2 hours that we record.
No raised voices, nothing.
No nonsense,
nothing,
man. Just opinions and, challenging each other's ideas and sort of thinking through things. And it's lovely. And maybe I'm just a little bit too grown up for the truth of fighting, argy-bargy, figure-eight nonsense. Maybe I've just
had a listen to Simon Shank. listen to Simon Schacht talk about his new book. They've just released the audio.
Brolo, why are you promoting Simon Schacht's latest book, man? What's going on with you? You haven't even read it. Why are you promoting this?
No. I'm just promoting the audio that's there on psychologist.com.
I will listen to the audio.
Yes.
And back when the Clues Chronicles started, I listened to probably the first, I don't know, 10 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
But
this has got Simon Schacht on it, explaining his book, so I think you might enjoy it. I mean, again, I know nothing about the cause. You did the whole flat, or not, was it Ball Earth Skeptic thing with your mate?
Bro, that was me.
I forgot his name.
The Ball Earth Skeptic Roundtable, that was me, a couple of my boys. It was great. Yeah. It was a great thing.
Yeah.
It was terrific.
So I enjoyed that just as much as I enjoyed the roundtable, the Aussie roundtable. I enjoyed that just as much. And it was the day that you said you weren't a flat earther or something. Everybody went fucking batshit crazy because everyone thought you were a flat earther.
And the funny thing about that, Rollo, is that you can listen to the very first episode of the Baller Skeptic Roundtable, and I make it very clear, not only am I not a flat earther, I was the one challenging the flat earther who was trying to tell me, this is a guy called Dean Murphy 25, trying to tell me that I couldn't have flown from Johannesburg to Perth, which is on our west coast. He was telling me that I must be mistaken. And I'm like, must be mistaken? Brother, I was in South Africa in 2010. Yeah. I had to come back to Australia. I didn't swim. I didn't catch a boat. Like, this isn't the kind of thing you just
swimming from.
Joburg
to Perth. That's a hell of a swim. You have to be Susie Moroney or something to do that.
Yeah, so, like, this isn't the kind of thing where, like, if I'm live on the air with you and I tell you that I flew from one country to another, okay, if I was, like, a regular traveller, maybe you could make that kind of error. But I've only gone on one overseas trip in my life, and so that was the return leg. That was me coming back. It's not the kind of thing you just forget. And he says to me live on the air, oh, you must be mistaken. Mistaken. But I've still got the itinerary. I'll go and get the itinerary.
You went up somewhere else. You took another trip somewhere else.
So, no, I've only had one overseas trip in my life, man. Like, I lead a very
I seem to remember you took a trip somewhere else, but up north somewhere, to Thailand or somewhere. I don't know.
Let me tell you what I did. This is 2010.
Yeah, different.
I went on exchange to South Africa. And so what I did was I flew to London via Singapore. So I spent 3 days in Singapore.
About a
week in London. And I didn't go any further north than London. I should have, but I was like, I was just happy to be in London, just drinking and basically being a dickhead. And then I flew down to Johannesburg, and I was there for about 5 months. And then I flew to Melbourne via Perth.
Yeah.
That was the whole flight. Yeah. And that's one of the things that gets me. It's like you have these people out there complaining about people like me making videos and podcasts and charging a very small nominal fee for the premium content. And you get these people complaining about it. And it's like, I'm 30 years old. I don't own a car. I don't own a freaking automobile. I haven't been overseas in, what, coming up on 8 years?
Right.
And these cretins want to criticize me.
Mm.
This so-called truth around, man, is full of some sick people. There's good people out there. That's why I remain. But
am I a good person, Jono, or am I sick? Am I crazy?
Well, when you're behaving,
be honest,
I think you're lovely. When you're behaving yourself like you did on our live recording, what was it, 5 or 6 weeks ago now? Who are the fakeologists? When you're behaving yourself, I think you're terrific. I think you're fantastic.
Yeah.
When you start doing your drunk, you know, obfuscating, obstruction, yelling.
Well, I did a bit of that tonight. That you, I asked AJ specifically to wait for you to come here because I know that you can moderate. Because
well, that was the thing, man. I was actually listening to you and Dave J talking. I was eating my little salad for dinner, and I was enjoying it. And I was just listening to you, so it was nice. Because I was afraid what you wanted to do was just start yelling at him, and he'd yell back, and what kind of a retail?
No, I wanted you there to, when I started yelling at him, but it took a while for you to get into the room, and by then I'd calmed down, so. Yeah.
Well, let me share with you an idea, Rollo, and just give me an idea.
Yeah.
Dave J. Okay, he says that this person is that person, and I disagree with him about that kind of thing, right? He's even said that I and this other guy called Tristan who is Gino's mate, right? So he's even done one of those silly analyses on. He made a video, I'm sure I could find it somewhere, of accusing me of being one of Gino's friends, because we both had long beards at the time, and we both wore beanies. Other than that, I don't think we even looked similar. But he was trying to say that we're the same. So this is just what Dave J does, okay?
As long as you admit that you're less than Nedium.
I told you just to hear me out.
That's all you're
interrupting. You're interrupting.
You're less than Nedium, right?
Just hear me out. So if we put that aside,
okay.
Let's listen to what else Dave J has to say. Dave J says and has put out videos, which take time to make, showing how the Civil War is a hoax, how war in general is a hoax, how ancient Egypt is a hoax, how ancient history in general is a hoax. This is all good stuff, right? So why would we try and focus on the disagreements at the detriment or to the detriment of chatting about the things where we agree? Why do we do that for? Why? I mean, it's okay to disagree every now and then, but why would you make that your central focus when analysing a character? The only reason I can think of is if you are stuck in this us versus them mentality. Ooh, he's a shill, she's a shill, they're boogeymen sent to get us. Ooh, if you're stuck in this infantile, juvenile, us versus them, black versus white, Pepsi versus Coke, false dichotomy.
Oh, yeah, mindset. Ford versus, come on, let's think of all the dichotomies. Ford versus Holden, Cornettas versus...
Well, you're obstructing again, Roland. You're obstructing again. The point that I'm
trying to make is... Look, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I have to go for about 10 minutes. If you want to go for a diatribe for 10 minutes and you're still here, I will be back, I promise.
Well, I won't be back. When you get back, I'll be gone. I've got to make a video, Roland. It's nice chatting with you.
Okay, mate. It's good to talk to you again, John. JohnLeBond.com.
Yeah, I'll just finish the thought that I had. Good luck to John Adams and to Hoaxbusters Call and to all the people there. I wish them no ill will whatsoever. And I'll go and listen to their latest call to see what is said. But, I think Ab's done well. And, to the people out there, whether you support Ab or you support Chris Kendall or John Adams or myself or any of the people who take the time to make this kind of content, when you then turn around and start being nasty, I think you have to ask yourself, why are you doing that? Why would you support someone or pretend to support them? And then, because you disagree with them about one thing, snap at them like that. I don't think that's a healthy way to live your life, not just online, but with people. If you decide that's it, this person is no longer my cup of tea, then just move on with your life. You don't have to make a big deal of saying, well, this person is my enemy now, and I'm going to badmouth them to others. It just seems like a very juvenile way to lead your life. And I think the way that Ab has conducted himself, and also Faye, I thought her contributions in one of those recent calls also was very mature. And there's not enough of that, in my opinion. There's not enough maturity in the vast majority of the so-called truth realm. But we'll see where it all goes. I mean, end of the day, a story about a woman dying on a motorcycle or dying when she came off a motorcycle, as the case might be, is it really that big a deal? I'm not so sure that it is. But anyway, time for me to go. I've been here way too long. Thanks to Dave J. Thanks to Frank the Salt Guy. Thanks to Crazy Rollo, as he likes to be called, and also to Exoteric. It's a shame about the reception that he was getting. Like I said, normally Telstra, good reception. And don't waste your time walking to a Telstra store, though, because, man, these people, they take unethical sales tactics to a whole new level. Do go in there just once to see it for yourself. Just see it for yourself, man. I went into a Telstra store once. Let me tell you a story. Let me just clear my throat there. I went into a Telstra store once, and all I wanted was mobile internet data, because I was going into the middle of Australia to record some footage of the dinosaurs that were supposedly discovered there. And this was for my Dino Skeptic film. And so I walked into a Telstra store because the phone carrier that I'm with has no reception out there. Only Telstra have reception out there. Okay. So I want to go and find out how much will it cost me to maybe change over to Telstra. Why not? Or should I just get a separate phone? What's the most cost-effective option that you guys can sort me out with so that I've got mobile internet data when I'm going out to winter? That's all I want to know, okay? That's all I need to know. And I'm happy to pay if it's the best, if it's a fair solution, I'll give you the cash, no problems. This guy tries to pitch to me, and the way that sales works is you do your discovery, you find out what the client wants, you find out what the problem is if they're trying to solve a problem, then you pitch to them the best solution that is most likely to get you the sale. This is how sales is supposed to work. You do the discovery, then you pitch the best that you can come up with. Not this guy. We go through the discovery. I mean, I'm using that word. He doesn't know the word that he used, but I know enough about this field, so I get it. And that's cool. He's asking me, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, he's pretending to care. Like, that's cool, whatever. Then it comes, and I'm like, just give me your best solution, man. That's all I need. You know, he tries to pitch me an iPad. No word of a lie. He tries to pitch me a mobile phone plan, like a 24-month plan, with the centerpiece being an iPad. I never said anything about an iPad. Firstly, I don't have an iPad or a tablet. I don't now. I didn't then. I don't want one now. I didn't then. I said nothing about a freaking tablet. That's what this guy's trying to pitch me, a tablet. I'm looking at this guy thinking to myself, this guy's a clown. This guy's a joker. You know, but being the way that I am, I was too polite to call him out on the spot. I said, well, listen, thank you for the idea. And then I went on my way. I was too polite to just look at him and say, mate, you're a fuckwit. That's what I should have done probably. I should have said, mate, you are a fuckwit. You've just wasted, 15, 20 minutes of both of our time? You, my friend, are a fuckwit. I don't know what your team leader has told you today. Maybe you've got like a little internal special going on where whoever sells the most fucking iPads this week gets a bonus. You know, I understand you've got a financial motivation to try and convince me to buy an iPad. I get it. But that doesn't make it okay. That doesn't make you haven't even, you are not a good person. Look, you've got to look at it from his perspective. You know, like I said, maybe he did have, like a $200 gift card if he sold enough iPads that week. I mean, yeah, I guess you can look at it both ways. But yeah, Telstra stores, and then that's just one of my experiences with these people. Because obviously I didn't take that guy up on his offer. I mean, don't even get me started. So later on, I looked online and I found out that they sell just the little portable modems that come with the data. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but let's just say that on three separate occasions, I checked online, I called the store to find if they had the one that I was looking for. They said they did. I went to the store, and then they tried to say, oh, no, we don't have that one. We've got the next one up from that one, which is more expensive, obviously. And I'm like, no, I just spoke to Andy on the phone, and he assured me there were three in stock. Oh, let me go and check. Oh, there was one in stock after all. Ah, yeah, there always was, you cheeky bitch. Yeah, these people, they're completely shameless. So I bought my little internet dongle, and then Lindsay was so impressed with the internet reception that we got with Telstra that he wanted to buy a dongle of his own because he lives miles from Brisbane. He's got no reception other than Telstra. So I'm like, well, here's the one that you want. Did the same thing. Called the store ahead of time. I said, hey, listen, we want to get this particular dongle. Do you have it in stock? Oh, yeah, we've got three or four in stock. Fantastic. I'll see you in 20 minutes. So we drive down there. We get to the store. And I said to Lindsay, hey, Lindsay, get this man. And I told him all about what I just told you guys. I'm like, what's the bet they try that little scam again? So we get to the front. This time it's a different woman and from when I bought mine because a couple of months had passed or whatever. And so we get to the front of the store. We're like, hey, we're just after this. Say it was called the TS dongle, right? Hey, we're just after one of your TS dongles. Oh, yeah. Taps away the computer. Oh, sorry, we're out of stock of those. But we've got this other one. It's like twice as expensive. And it's like, let's say her name was Tracy. It's like, Tracy, I just called and I just spoke with Bob. And he assured me there were three or four in stock. Oh, let me just go and double check. Oh, she comes back a few minutes later. Oh, there must have been an error on the computer because we just had one left. You're lucky. I'm like, yeah, we're lucky. So, and Lindsay was laughing at me. Like, he was laughing the whole time. Like, he knew what was going on. And I think sometimes he finds my frustration with the deceivers. He finds it amusing for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because he's 7 years old and sort of calm and peaceful, you know, in his older age. But he was laughing, giggling, because he knew that this was going to happen. I forewarned that it would happen. It did happen. And so Telstra stores, guys, I know that most of you are not Australians. That's cool. But if you ever travel here, or if you're in Australia and listen to this, firstly, beware of Telstra stores, and if you're a good son or daughter, I guess, make sure you're careful with your parents and your family members. Warn them all. You know, tell them all, listen, guys, if you ever want a telephone solution, be careful with the Telstra stores, because these people are completely unethical when it comes to sales. They're shameless as well, completely shameless. They're shameless. You know, and some people will say, oh, you've got to be unethical and shameless in sales. No, you don't. No, you don't. I didn't spend much time in my sales job when I was younger, but I spent there long enough that, no, you don't need to be unethical or shameless to succeed in sales. And, but these people are. These people are completely unethical and shameless. Telstra stores, yeah. So the network, the point of my story is the Telstra network, in my experience, fantastic. The dongle that I bought worked better than I could have possibly imagined. It was fantastic. Every day of the Dino Skeptic trip, I was able to upload a daily video. It was marvelous, truly marvelous. And it didn't matter where we got reception. It was phenomenal. But the Telstra stores, you've got to see it to believe it. So anyway, we're going to leave it there on the 11th of April, 2018. Thanks again to Dave, Jay, to Frank the Salt Guy, to Exoteric, and to Crazy Roller, as he likes to be called. And thanks again to Ab for facilitating this. If you like these audio chats, there's one person who's making them happen, and his name is Tim of Fakeologist.com. Why not send him even just 10 bucks, man? You can afford 10 bucks. If you haven't already sent Ab 10 bucks, just send him 10 bucks. It's nothing. And if 20 people did that, he could say to his wife, hey, we're going out for a nice dinner this weekend. And she'll say, why is that? And he'll say, well, that website that I run that you don't really pay much attention to, they've taken care of me and they wanted me to take you out tonight. And she'll feel fantastic. And Tim will feel fantastic. And you'll feel fantastic if you just send out 10 bucks. Trust me, you feel good. Just give it a try. Just try it right now. Just go to fakeologist.com, go to the little donate button. It's a two-click process. Very easy. Just put in 10 US dollars and you'll feel better, because you've probably gotten, if you're like me, literally dozens of hours of entertainment from fakeologist.com. So $10 is nothing and you'll feel better. Just give it a try. But that's it from me. John LeBon, go to johnlebon.com. Lots of free material there and paid material as well, if you can appreciate the difference between good quality and mediocre quality. It's only for the cream of the crop, my stuff. But if you consider yourself one of them, go to johnlebon.com. And until next time, you guys, take care of yourselves. And don't go anywhere near a Telstra store, because they're full of blood.
My name's Helen. I'm from Scotland. And you are listening to the best thing on the internet. It's fakeologist.com, son.